Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Hey, question, have you lied today? This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And today we want to talk about the sin of lying. What does God think about the sin of lying? You know, we live in a world today that's just filled with lies. We are just swimming in lies. It is a sick mess in America and in our world. The mainstream media, I think you have to pass a test that says you're willing to lie about whatever we tell you to lie about in order to work here. I mean, it's just sickening. Well, what does God think about it? You know, God wrote with his own finger in tablets of stone the Ten Commandments, and commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie against your neighbor. That's what it means to bear false witness. And God wrote that, as it says in the Old Testament, that the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God, written in tablets of stone, and they are there to be a constant reminder of what God wants for his people, what God demands for his people, what God commands his people. And one of the things he commands is that we be truthful in our communication, we be truthful in the way we live, that we don't lie with our life, we don't lie with our lips. And the reason being is, number one, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God's nature, God's character is truth. Exodus 34 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, verses 6 through 6 and 7. I think every Christian needs to memorize this. Exodus 34, 6 and 7, where God gives to Moses a description of himself. It's almost like God's resume, so to speak. You know, Moses had prayed, "Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your glory." And the Lord says, "Well, Moses, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll show you the edges of my glory, the back part of my glory. I can't show you my face. No man can see my face and live." And so he put Moses in the cleft of the rock. He hid him there with his hand, and he passed by. And the Lord declares who he is as he passes by Moses. The Lord God, Yahweh El. God is, the Lord is God, and he declares that. The Lord God, there is no other. I am God. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. God abounds in truth. He abounds in loving kindness. Hesed, C-H-E-S-E-D in the Hebrew. Hesed, loving kindness, as it is translated in the New American Standard, and truth. Now, it's interesting. I love that word, loving kindness. God's love and kindness together. His loyal love, his hesed. That word in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is repeated over and over and over again, used 176 times in the Old Testament. Now, it's not used once in the New Testament. We don't have loving kindness in the New Testament. It's interesting. Old Testament, loving kindness 176 times. Grace, which is such a dominant word in the New Testament, it's only used 8 times in the Old Testament. Loving kindness used 0 times in the New Testament, but what is used is grace, 123 times in the New Testament, grace. And it says of the Lord Jesus, who is God in the flesh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a mirror of Exodus 34:6, abounding in loving kindness and truth, full of grace and truth. And that is the Lord. He is a loving, compassionate, gracious God who abounds in the truth. There's no unrighteousness in him. And how does this one who is altogether light, in him there is no darkness at all, he is truth overflowing with truth, his throne is established in truth, how does he feel about lying? Very interesting. Proverbs chapter 6. There are six things which the Lord, Yahweh, hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. That word abomination means totally repulsive to him, reprehensible to him, disgusting to him. What are the seven things which are disgusting, abominable to God? Number one, haughty eyes, or as the King James puts it, a proud look. God hates pride. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that run rapidly to evil. Number six, a false witness who utters lies. And number seven, one who spreads strife among brothers. Now, did you catch that? Of the seven things God hates, two of them are lying. He mentions lying twice, a lying tongue and then a false witness who utters lies. God just detests lying. Do not lie to one another, Paul says in Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we have God, who is truth, abounding in loving kindness and truth, abounding in grace and truth. You can't get saved without truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus said. By loving kindness and truth, Proverbs says, iniquity is atoned for. If you're operating in an area that is not truth, you can't walk with God. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. 1 John chapter 1 says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There are lots of people that say they're Christians, but they're lying. They're not. There are lots of people that say they walk with God, but they're walking in the darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, well, what does that mean? It means you're lying. You're living out a lie. You're pretending. And as I had mentioned this Sunday, when I preached on the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, I had mentioned my good friend who was on the program Friday, the chairman of our deacons, Dr. Sudhir J. Aprabhu. I had mentioned how something he said in his testimony that I heard a couple of years ago has just stuck with me. And he talks about the three areas of a person's life: a person's public life, a person's private life, what they are like at home, and a person's secret life, the life that they know and that God knows, and maybe nobody else knows, the secret life. And every one of us has a public life, how we are out in the community, and every one of us has a private life, how we are when we are behind closed doors, and then every one of us has a secret life, the things that come into your mind, the things you think about, the things that nobody else sees except you and God. And he said, you know, if your public life, private life, and secret life are not all together in the light with the Lord, well, there are problems. That's the challenge of the Christian life. It's to get your public life, your private life, and your secret life all lined up together in the light with the Lord. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of God's Son cleanses us from all sins. When we get right with God, when we bring our sin out of the shadows and under the blood of Christ, then we have fellowship with the Lord. Well, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He can't stand lies. God is the God of truth. But the devil, on the opposite side of the spectrum, he's the father of lies. He just swims in lies. Jesus said to the Pharisees, as he was having an argument with them in John chapter 8, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Adrian Rogers used to say this: "You're never more like God than when you tell the truth, and you're never more like the devil when you tell a lie." And God is the God of truth. It's an abomination for God to look upon lies. He hates lies. And when you and I, as believers in Jesus, lie to one another, we're acting in our old nature. The Bible says you laid aside that old self with its evil practices. Lay aside the old self, put on the new self, the new clothes that you have in Jesus Christ, and speak truth to one another, speaking the truth in love. Now, when you think about the ninth commandment, "You shall not lie," "You shall not bear false witness to your neighbor," that's a courtroom kind of language, false witness. So you're in a court of law, and the scripture says, "Do not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, that is critical, and a society has to have truth in order to survive, in order to keep going. If you build a society on lies, that's building on sand. And Jesus said, you know, if you build on sand, the rains are going to come, the winds are going to descend, the floods are going to come. And if your house, your society is built on sand, it's going to get washed away. It's going to get blown away. You have to build on truth, because truth is the solid rock. And so when a society builds on lies, it is destined for destruction. And when it says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor," that is courtroom language. And what is God trying to tell us there? Well, you got to remember, in ancient times, in a court of law, it was the testimony of two or three witnesses that would determine a person's innocence or guilt. They didn't have video surveillance. They didn't have DNA testing. They didn't have fingerprints. And so how they would determine where a person stood in terms of the accusations was the testimony of witnesses. And the scripture says, "On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness." And so it is really critical for the court of law and for a society that is wanting to conduct itself under the law to have truthful witnesses. Now, if you have a society that says, "We don't have any laws, we're just a lawless society," then it becomes like the Old West. Everybody better strap on a gun, because as it says in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We're becoming a society where you just do what's right in your own eyes. And that's the formula for disaster, because what's right in your eyes and what's right in somebody else's eyes can be very, very different. And people think it's right to steal. What you have, it should be mine, and so I'm just going to go take it. And it just becomes a dog-eat-dog kind of existence. And the Lord says, you have to operate in truth. The throne of a king has to be established in righteousness, in honesty, and in truthfulness. Otherwise, it's destined for destruction. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and our subject matter today is lying. Have you told a lie today? Hopefully not. Well, you're listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weekday at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. We're up against a break, but we'll be coming back in 3 minutes. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the sin of lying. Have you lied today? The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." He said in verse 15 of that same chapter, "We are to be speaking the truth in love." That is the command for a believer. Do not lie to one another. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Commandment number 9 of the 10 commandments. Now, when we think about the sin of lying, and you have told a lie before, and if you say, "I've never told a lie," well, there you go. You're lying about that. You've told a lie before. I've told a lie before. But I want you to think about the sin of lying, because the sin of lying is different from other sins. You know, if we think about the sin of lust, you know, Jesus took the 7th commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." And then he deepened it in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And see, the Jews would look at the 10 commandments on the external. And they'd say, "Well, you know, you're not supposed to commit adultery." I've never committed adultery in practice, but I have in my heart. And so Jesus would take it to the heart. "You shall not commit murder." "I've never murdered anybody." But maybe you have done that in your heart. And that's what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, think about the sin of lying. Lying is not like lust. It's not like anger. It's not like the sin of worry. And worry definitely is a sin, because when you're worried, you're not trusting God. It's not like the sin of resentment. You know, somebody does something to you, hurts your feelings, and you resent that person. You're holding on to the hurt, and you're resenting them. You're getting bitter toward them. Those are sins that we fight. As I was talking to a friend just last Saturday at a wedding, he was talking about his brother who got addicted to OxyContin, and he said he was sitting on the side of his bed, I think something like that, and he told his brother, he said, "I just can't beat this addiction. It is just everything in my body wants this drug." And so we can get in situations like that where we're fighting this, but it's internal things, and it's hard. You have to really train yourself as a Christian man, especially, to not look on a woman to lust for her. So those are things that just pop up. You're in traffic, somebody cuts you off, and that anger just comes up, and you got to really be careful that you don't blurt out something that would be evil, dishonoring to God, whatever it is. But it's just like, all of a sudden, I'm just so angry. Lying is not like that. You know, we don't ever get in a situation where it's just like, you know, I'm really fighting this thing called lying. I just feel like I need to lie today. I just haven't lied all day, and it's just driving me crazy. I'm going to call the operator and lie to her. It's not like that. You know, I mean, lying is something you choose to do. You're put in a situation and you're saying, okay, somebody's asking me about X, Y, and Z. They're asking me at work, did I do this? Did I make this call? Did I do this assignment that I was given to do? And I didn't do it, but I don't want to look bad, so I'm going to lie and say, well, my cell phone was out. It was acting up. I couldn't make any calls, or I couldn't do this or couldn't do that for whatever reason. The dog ate my homework. Whatever it might be, we lie rather than tell the truth. Now, I was reading in a commentary, and very interesting, this guy, I think it was J.I. Packer that wrote this commentary on the 9th commandment, where he was talking about you shall not bear false witness. He said, what is the underlying motive for lying? The underlying motive for lying. He said, two reasons why we lie. And you think of, go back to Genesis 3, the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. So he lies to Eve. He gets her to doubt the word. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Question mark. He's always coming at us trying to get us to question the Word of God. So he gets her to question the Word of God, the goodness of God. Then he denies the penalty. You shall not surely die, he says to her. And then he lies about the benefits. For God knows in the day you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Hey, you're not going to die. Let me tell you, there is a prize in the Cracker Jack box. You eat of this fruit and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, it's doubt to denial to disavowal. Hey, this is, and here's what's going to happen. There are good things for disobeying God. Lies, lies, lies coming out of the mouth of the devil. Why did he do that? Two underlying reasons why people lie. Number one, pride. And we know that that's in the devil's character. Isaiah chapter 14, where he who was made Lucifer, the light bearer, the number one angel that God ever made, and from Ezekiel 28, we pick up the fact that he was probably the worship leader in heaven. And he who was so beautiful, and the worship would come from the angels, it would come through him to God as a beautiful sound, because there's something musical about his makeup, this one Lucifer. And he said, I'm too beautiful, I'm too wonderful, I'm too wise. The worship doesn't need to come through me, it needs to come to me. And he says, I will be like the Most High God. Isaiah 14, there are five I wills there. And it was the sin of ingratitude and the sin of pride. Why do people lie? They lie because of pride. They lie because they don't want to look bad in a situation. They don't want to be put down in a situation. So they'll lie about their achievements. They'll lie about their accomplishments. They'll lie about their deficiencies because they don't want to look bad. So there's pride that fuels the lying. And number two, malice, a desire to do evil to someone else, a hatred, underlying hatred towards someone else. Well, the devil has both of those. He has pride and he has malice. The devil hates God. The devil wants to hurt God. He tried to overthrow God, and he led a third of the angels into his lie to try and overthrow God. Well, they were kicked out of heaven. The devil can't overthrow God, and the devil can't hurt God directly. How's he going to do that? I mean, God has more power in his little finger than the devil has in his whole being. Don't ever get the idea that there's some dualism in the earth where God is all-powerful in holiness and goodness and righteousness, and the devil is all-powerful in evil. It's not like that at all. The devil is a created being. I remember hearing an Adrian Rogers sermon one time, and he was talking about, he played with the crowd antonyms. You know, synonyms are words that are similar in meaning, and antonyms are words that are opposite. And so he'd say, okay, white, and they'd say black. He'd say up, and they would say down. You know, it's just the opposites. He'd say left, and they'd say right. It's the opposite. And then he'd say God, and the crowd said Satan. He said, no, that's not right. He said, the devil is not the opposite of God. He said, God doesn't have an opposite. God doesn't have an equal. There is only one God. The devil is created, a created being. That's like saying the opposite of the sun is an ice cube. There is no opposite for the sun, S-U-N. And so there is no opposite from God. And so the devil knows he can't hurt God. He can't get at God, even though he hates God. So what does he do? He goes after the people God loves. God loves you. And if the devil can destroy your life, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, then the devil has hurt God indirectly. You know, if you want to hurt me in a deep, deep way, you would go after one of my kids, one of my grandkids, because I love them. And I'd rather you punch me in the face than punch one of my daughters in the face. And so the devil knows that. He is evil to the core. And so he goes after those God loves. And what fuels the lies? Pride and malice. This desire to wound, to afflict, to do evil, because you are wanting to hurt that other person. Here's something very, very interesting. So as the scripture says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And this was the way that they would try and set up a guardrail against that. So it says, on the evidence of two or three witnesses, Deuteronomy 17, two or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. So one witness doesn't cut it. You have to have two or three. The hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. So what does that mean? That means if you're in a court of law and you're lying about what you saw and heard, that's what a witness does. He tells what he saw and heard. You're lying about it, and that's going to put this person to death. You are the first one to grab a stone to throw a stone at them. You lead the charge to kill them. So if we did that in our country and everybody in a court of law, if you lie in court and this person is going to get put to death because of it, you are the first one to bring about their death. You are the first one to cause physical harm that will lead to death. You throw the first stone. Now, a lot of people will lie, but they don't want to dirty their hands, so to speak, with the blood of this person that they know is innocent, that they lied about. I mean, your heart has to be really black and evil to want to do that. You know, I think about Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, who is so evil, and how she got those worthless men to lie about Naboth. So this man cursed God and the king. No, he didn't. But they had two false witnesses that accused him, and they ended up stoning him with stones. And the vineyard was open now for King Ahab to take. Just an awful story in Scripture of the sin, the many, many sins of Jezebel. So, have you lied today? Here's something that we need to consider. When we are living our lives, when we're tempted to lie because of pride or because of malice, you know, sometimes you get a bunch of women in an office, they can become very catty with one another, and they can say things that are destructive. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so we can say things that tear down and not things that build up. So when we lie, just know this. Why is it such a terrible, horrible sin? Well, it goes against the nature and character of God, and it destroys people. Bear false witness against your neighbor, you are hurting them, you are destroying them to some degree. And we're commanded to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourself. If you're lying to your neighbor, against your neighbor, one thing is for certain, you're not loving them. It's not loving to lie to people. We need to remember that. In the Christian community, we've gotten so twisted in this thing called love. And we say, well, to love our neighbor means that, you know, we approve of them and all the things that they're doing. As J.D. Greer said in a podcast, J.D. Greer, who is the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention just a couple of years ago, he said, you know, I think I would, if I was put in the situation, I would use a person's preferred pronouns, even if they don't match their biological sex, because I would want to be hospitable and accommodating to them. I would never do that. And you should never do that either. And we should never do that. Why? Because that's entering into a lie. You know that that person who is a biological male who wants to go by she and her or whatever, Z and Zim, whatever their pronouns, you're a biological male. Your pronouns are fixed. They are he and him. And I'm not going to enter into a lie and, you know, to try and placate you and trying to make you feel better. You've heard me said before, and it's so true. You go see a doctor who will tell you the truth, not one who lies to you because he wants you to like him. If you have a sickness, an illness, you want to hear the truth. If you have cancer, you need to know I have cancer so you can address the issue. You don't want someone to say, well, I'm not going to tell him this because that would hurt his feelings. I just want to be hospitable, so I'm going to lie to him. Mark it down. Anytime you're lying to someone, you are not loving them. We are to speak the truth in love. What exactly does that mean? You always tell people the truth, but you don't use truth like a sledgehammer. I'm not going to just smash you over the head with truth and leave you bleeding on the side of the road. I speak the truth in love. Jesus is full of grace and truth. How did Jesus deal with a woman caught in the very act of adultery? He didn't just smash her in the head with truth, but he didn't throw truth out. When he dealt with the woman at the well, he said, go call your husband. I have no husband. Yeah, that's right. You don't have any husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. And he dealt with her sin. He didn't whitewash her sin. He didn't throw a sheet over her sin. He brought her sin to the forefront. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, Proverbs chapter 16. And that's how we have to deal with it in our lives. That's how we have to deal with it in our families. That's how we have to deal with it in society. Listen, our society is destined for destruction if we keep swimming in lies. Now, Christians have an obligation before the Lord to speak the truth in love, to stand up and be counted for truth and for righteousness. And we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be holy as he is holy. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you on the subject of lying, because our world is overrun with lies. And God says, hey, Christian, stand up, stand in the light, speak the truth in love, and I will bless you for it. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the sin of lying. Do not lie to one another, Paul says in Colossians 3:9, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. God is light, and in him, John says, is no darkness at all. He is the God who abounds in loving kindness and truth. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment about the sin of lying, as we have said in this program, we live in a world of lies. Lying about huge things that destroy lives. Now, remember this, lies always destroy. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you use your tongue to speak lies, you will bring destruction. And what did we say fuels lies? Pride and malice. Pride, I want to get something. I lie about things so I can get ahead somehow, so I can elevate myself above you, or I hate you and want to hurt you. Now, we are lying to children at a very young age about this thing called gender. And we're trying to say that gender is separate from biological sex, and it is pumped out on mainstream media and in the schools, and sick teachers in elementary school and middle school teaching kids about all this stuff, and drag queen story hour. It is lies that will destroy. The thief comes only. The thief, who is the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And it's so sickening what we see happening in America with abortion. Abortion, I'm going to kill you before you get out of the womb. Or gender dysphoria and the sex trafficking of children that we see in the movie Sound of Freedom. If you haven't seen that, I encourage you to see it. But we want to destroy your life. If we can't kill you before you get out of the womb, then we're going to try and destroy your life after you get out of the womb. We're going to try and fill your head with lies to say that you, little boy, should really be a little girl. You want to play with dolls. That just shows that your gender is not in accord with your biological sex, and you can choose your gender. And there are infinite numbers of genders. Lie, lie, lie. Listen, at conception, you are XY male or XY female. You can't change that. Your chromosomal makeup is on every cell of your body, and you are born male or female. God created Genesis 1:27. He created them male and female. There are no others. They're just two sexes, two genders. Gender and sex are inseparably linked, and you can't choose your gender. What you can do, though, is yield to God and just say, yes, Lord, this is how you made me. And if you're struggling with gender dysphoria, you're thinking a lie, just like a person with anorexia nervosa is struggling with a lie in their mind, thinking that they are fat when in fact they are skinny. The solution to that is not to keep dieting. The solution is to deal with the lie in your mind. And if you are one or have a loved one that's struggling with gender dysphoria, the solution is to yield to God's truth and say, yes, Lord, quit fighting God. He made you. You don't get to choose. He made you the way he wants you to be. And the sooner you get in line with that, the sooner that you can walk in peace and joy and love. Well, we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Brother Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. I was called to say that abortion is a lie. And a lot of Christians are... if they don't get involved in saving, do what they can through the cause of saving babies, and they are living a lie. So I don't mean to try to condemn anyone, but it's just maybe a few people are Christians, and they are involved, and they try to influence other Christians to get involved in saving preborns or newborns. When they don't get involved in it, something's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Abortion definitely is a lie, because that little one growing in his or her mom's womb is a person. And, you know, this idea, my body, my choice. Well, that's a lie, because it's not your body. It's another body that is living inside of you for 9 months, and then that body is coming out. And so my body, my choice is rooted in a lie, and abortion is murder. And anybody that could vote, you know, this comes back to who we put in office. How in the world can a person say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and vote for people who want to murder the defenseless unborn? It just is beyond my comprehension how you can try and make those two things match up. They can't match up. And abortion is the issue that far outpaces any others, because so many people are being killed. Now, the gender dysphoria, gender mutilation, hormone blockers, all the stuff that they're doing to young kids, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, that is also an evil beyond description, because you're destroying kids' lives at the starting gate. A 10-year-old doesn't know. They can be easily influenced by, hey, I get a lot of attention if I say that I'm really supposed to be a little girl. Let's have surgery, or a little girl. Let's have surgery and let's remove body parts. And those things are permanent, and they permanently destroy lives. So I appreciate that, Frank. Appreciate that comment. We have Debbie on the line from Texas. Debbie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to you every day because I'm driving around Louisville. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment on this because it's so important to me in my life. I realized that the Lord, in His infinite grace, showed me that the reason people lie and the reason I lied ever is because I was deceived. And it helps me to have grace for those who tell a little fib. You know, a little fib isn't good, you know. A little fib is not, it leads to more fibs. But the devil is a liar, and he's the prince of all liars. And if he can get us deceived enough to lie to people or to lie to ourselves, and like the caller before said, you know, someone who believes that the child is not a real child, you know, so that's a great example. But the thing, it starts with the deception, and being deceived makes a person a liar. They can't help it. And then there's another fun thing to know is that, you know, people will say, you liar. And you just go, well, how many lies does it take to make a liar? And it takes one, you know?
Yeah.
And who hasn't told at least one lie? So we can't, you know, cast stones at somebody, like you were saying before. If we ourselves have lied before, we need to just have grace and pray for them to have the scales off their eyes and be not deceived anymore. Because that's exactly what I did, but I knew it was a huge undertaking. It was a colossal undertaking. I had to get before the Lord on my face because I had been so gravely deceived, and it hurt people. And my deception caused a lot of pain. And I said, please don't let me be deceived anymore, ever again. I do not want to be a person deceived and telling any kind of lie, little, big, whatever, any size lie.
Yeah, amen for that, Debbie. That's why spending time in the Word of God is so important. Jesus said in John 17:17, His great high priestly prayer, He said to His Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. And so we have doctrines of demons, as the Scripture talks about in 1 John, that we have to be able to rightly divide the Word. We have to be able to recognize, as it says in Hebrews 5:14, who because of practice, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We need to, as you spend time in the Word, as you spend time with the Lord, then your senses are trained to discern. Is this from God or is this a lie from the devil? Because the devil is a master liar. And the lies that are most believable are the ones that sound most like the truth. You know, a clock that's 5 minutes wrong, a watch that's 5 minutes wrong, is a lot more deadly than a watch that's 5 hours wrong, because when it's 5 hours wrong, you're able to tell, hey, this is wrong. It's obviously, you know, when it's in the evening, it's obviously not noon, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So, but 5 minutes off, you can be deceived by that. And so we need to spend time in the Word so that we can rightly divide the Word of truth, and we can see when there is deception going on. And the Bible tells us evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so some people are deceiving and others are being deceived. And I think as you proceed in lies, eventually you start believing your own baloney. You become deceived by your own lies, and lies always beget more lies, because you have to lie to cover the lie that you told, and then you have to keep you know, copious records on all your lies, because your whole life is a sham at that point. Our government has so many politicians. Their whole life is a sham. It's like, how do you live with yourself? Because it would just be in the middle of the night, you know, when it's just you alone with your thoughts, and you're there before God, as you know deep down in your heart that he sees you. And it would just be awful, because you just know, my whole life is a lie. I've lied to get ahead. What do I have? I have nothing. And nobody wants that. You know, I heard about an athlete, a runner, that could have won a race because the guy ahead of him got, it was a long distance race, and he forgot where the finish line was. And so he started slowing down, and this guy easily could have overtaken him. But he said, I wasn't going to do that, because what kind of honor is that in a victory, that you only win because that guy thought he had won it? And he hadn't. So he said he pushed that guy along. He said, the finish line is 50 yards ahead. You go on. And he finished second. And but he had his integrity and his honor there for doing that. So thank you, Debbie, for that. Thank you for sharing. We have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. I have a close relative that, a young person that lies, and I don't know how to handle it. I'm concerned. It's been going on for a few years. And if I confront this person, then they lie about lying. And I don't know how to handle it. Supposedly he's a Christian, but it's just concerning to me. Mm-hmm. And how would you go about that when you confront them? I know they're lying, but I really don't have any proof most of the time.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how to explain what I'm saying.
No, I understand. Yeah, that's difficult, you know, when somebody is vehemently denying that they're lying, and you know that they're lying. I think I would just, in that case, say, listen, God hates lying, and God knows the truth, and you know when you're lying, and God knows. And so here's the thing. I ran across this quote. What upsets me is not that you lied to me, but that from now on I can no longer believe you. And I would let that person know, I want to believe you, but I can't. And, you know, you're never more like the devil than when you're telling lies. You're never more like God than when you're telling the truth. And God can't work in your life if you're walking in the darkness. If you're saying you have fellowship with him, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm telling you the truth, but you're not, you're lying. And you're lying with your life. And God can't work in lies. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if you don't walk in the truth, you can't be set free. And lies beget more beget more lies, and you just eventually start swimming in lies. And I'd really pray for them, just coming against that in their lives, that the light would come on and God's conviction would really come into this person's heart, that they would see what they're doing, and that they would desire to come to the truth and to get right with God. Well, thanks, Annie, for calling in. John, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We ran out of time, but I appreciate you calling in, and appreciate you all listening to Real Truth for Today. It's a joy to get to talk to you every week. I want to thank my good friend Tim Wildman at American Family Association, American Family Radio, for the privilege of getting to share each morning, 8 o'clock Central Time. Tell your friends, go online, afr.net. You can listen to any of these programs. They're stored there under Real Truth for Today, and love to have you check that out. Hey, go out, shine and share today. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know this, God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.